Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Thank you, His Fragrance, for bringing our Lord Jesus into this morning service. Good morning, church. You are welcome to this special service today. And why is it special? Because today is Father's Day. Yes, today is Father's Day, the one day we have dedicated to fathers and to men. We know our women have like 3 or 4 Mother's Day, and they have an International Women's Day. But only one day has been reserved for men, and that day is today. So today we are going to celebrate all the fathers in our house, all the fathers at home, all the fathers all over the world. And an integral part to being a father is being a man. That's why today we are going to talk about what it takes to be a man. Because you are not just a man by birth. You are not just a man because biologically you look like a man. In fact, some people think it is risky to be a man now. But there are so many other integral attributes to being a man. And that's some of the things that we want to discuss today. There are so many things that go into it, and we cannot say it all today. But we'll scratch the surface a bit. We'll go into it in bits and pieces. And for the light men, who are the men who belong to this church, these are the things we are going to be discussing as we go on through the year. That silly virus has tried to stop us from meeting. But we know that the virus has nothing on us because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. None of us shall be lost to the virus. We shall all continue to survive. And we shall get back to our lives stronger and better than before. We know that life is full of tribulations, but know that the Lord God Almighty is with us, and He will see us through. So, sit back, relax. Today is going to be an unusual service. It's a men's service, so it's a men's theme. But before we go into the panel of discussion which we have today, just enjoy this short video clip, and I'll be right back with you. Thank you. Thank you very much, children. Aren't they adorable? The one that the Lord Jesus Christ said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. But the children are not the focus today, although we are all children. Maybe we should just talk about our own Father. But we do that every Sunday in church because we talk about our God our Father. So today we want to talk about what it takes to be a man. And that's not a job for one man. So therefore, I'm going to be supported today in this discussion by some other light men who are here in the house today. So I'll start by introducing on my left, Brother Lanri Badejo, Brother Lanri Oladejo. He's one of the light men who will be discussing with us today.
Good morning, church.
And to my far right, we have, when people have nicknames, that's one of the things about men. When they have nicknames, sometimes you may even forget their real names. But I think I'll get your name right. We call him Lala, but your name is
Demola
Adiribigbe.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, sir.
And to my left, immediate right, we have a very popular light man in our fold here in the lighthouse. If you've been watching any of our skits, you will see him, but he's in a serious mood today. You can see he's wearing agbada today, so it's a different mood today. Brother DK Odogun. Say hello.
Morning, church.
Okay. So, going into the business of today, like we said, what we are here to do to discuss today is what it takes to be a man. Like I said in the introduction earlier on, it's not an easy task to be a man. Indeed, it is a lifetime journey to become a man. And being a man, being a father, is part of being a man. So we just want to just have some tete-a-tete today on what it takes to be a man. And what do we understand by being a man? I think that's the first question I'll throw to the light men on the stage with me. So, Brother Lanri, what do you think it takes? What does it take to be a man? What do you say? When you say you are a man, what do you say it means?
Good morning, church. I'm so honored to be here this morning, and I say Happy Father's Day to every father right here and everyone watching us. And I also say Happy Father's Day to our father in the house, Pastor Ayo Daniels. Being a man, I believe, is about taking responsibility and providing leadership. Because as a man, even if you look at it from the scriptural point of view, God created Adam and he asked him to be in charge. So to provide leadership and to be responsible for everything that he has created. So I believe that being a man is mainly about taking responsibility and providing leadership.
Thank you very much. That's very strong. Taking responsibility and providing leadership. In the corporate world today, we're always talking about leadership, and it's become an integral part of what everybody has to do. Brother Adogu, what do you have to say on what it takes to be a man?
Good morning,
what
church.
It means to be a man.
I'm trying to be relaxed here because this is not the kind of thing I do. being a man, like Brother Larry said, it's basically about responsibility. It entails you being a leader, you being responsible for everything, you being the forefront of everything, both in family, in business, in career. There's so much expectation as a man. So, like Brother Larry said, I would agree with him. It's about leadership. It's about responsibility, basically.
You guys are describing it. I'm feeling a weight on my shoulder. I hope the young men watching us are not getting anxious of the challenges of being a man. Lala, you want to make it easier for them or you want to put more pressure?
About two things. Character and competence. So, for instance, let's assume that we're traveling to... Let's say we are going to Jalingo and we get to the bus park and we get into the first bus and we noticed that just at the bus park there was a group of men drinking and they were taking all sorts, Baraga, Ali, Openg, you know, and they were mixing it, they were confirmed science students. And the chief science student amongst them when the bus was filled was the one that was called to come and drive. Now when he was coming to drive, in fact, they had to support him, you know, so because it was basically staggering. And but at the end of the day, sir, you are the one sitting. Because of course, you know me, I would have to go to the back. So he got into the car and he was trying to find his balance. And they said, okay, that's the driver taking us to Jalingo. You know, for one reason or the other, I'm sure a lot of us will ask questions that Jalingo call, you know, Jalangani. Because you would assume that he's not fit to drive. Then you are told that, oh, this guy's been driving for maybe from 96. Well, you are... So you're a bit comfortable, but nonetheless, you know it's in his Bible. You know? So of those,
I think the answer is obvious. We'll all go for the man that looks competent, like you said.
Yeah, so it means that the first one was competent. He had never had an accident, but he lacked the character to drive us. The second one had character but lacked the skills to drive us. Mm-hmm. So being a man requires that you have both competence. But not just that alone, you also have character. That is the two things that it takes to be a man.
Excellent. Thank you very much. So competence, character, leadership, responsibility. Those are some of the things that about what it takes to be a man. I think it stems from purpose. Everything stems from purpose. Why were you created in the first place? When God created us, he said we should be fruitful and we should multiply. Indeed, that means he told us that we should go and become fathers. But then it comes with a lot of responsibility because he also told us to toil and also be fruitful and produce from the earth. And it also comes from loving God. Being a man also means you have to love God and you have to love men. That's why our two major responsibilities are, if you look at the greatest two commandments, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what it means to be a man. We have to look at it from the issue of purpose. What are you created for? What is your destiny? What does God want you to be? How does he want you to do it? And what are the guides that he has given for you to do it? I think those are things that will lead us as we go along the way and as we, you know, continue this journey of becoming men. Okay? So how does one learn to be a man? Do you learn to be a man, or are you just a man because you are born a man? Or do you grow into be a man because you have beard and mustache, you are now a man? Is that all it takes? How do you learn to be a man? And when we say a man now, we are talking of being a proper man. But Alanri, how do we learn to be a man?
Okay. We learn to be a man by following the footsteps of another man. So I'll look at this from also following the footsteps of a father or a father figure. So one of the ways we can do that is because there are different phases of our life as men. We have the family front, we have the spiritual front, we have the career and business front. So, and there are other many other fronts too. So you need to have somebody that you are following, that you are like a protege of. So you are seeing the way they are doing things and you are following in their footsteps. So for me, for example, I lost my dad at a very, very early age. I think I was about 12 years old when my dad passed on. But the memories of the time that we share together up till now, the man I've become today is a reflection of who my dad was. So that means that he has done some things at that early age by providing leadership, by providing guidance, both spiritually and physically, to the family. So I can really see myself becoming the kind of man that my dad was. And as I was also growing up, I also had some uncles and some cousins that were also there to guide me in my own journey. So one of my uncles is someone who trained me in the line of business. So I believe that being a man is about following the footsteps of people in front of you. So as a man also, we should also pay attention to our children so that we are able to provide them guidance and leadership also.
Thank you very much. I like the way you said that about learning from other men. Because that's one thing we should always know, that somebody is watching us. Somebody is watching us all the time. In fact, there was a time it used to be like the community raised children. It wasn't just left to you as a father to raise your own child, because the whole community was helping you to raise, you know, raise your child. So as a man, you should know that you are setting an example for someone else, and you know somebody is watching you and following in those footsteps. Odogu, how do we learn to be a man? Any contribution to that?
Being a man is about, for me, is about understanding your purpose, understanding the mission you're called to do. Learning how to be a man comes with a lot of challenges. Learning how to be a man comes from understanding that mission too, and that purpose. There was a time in my life when I was struggling with, who am I? I was struggling with, why was I even created? Why am I even a man?
You are looking for yourself.
Exactly. You know, and like Brolari said, I had to look at people that were ahead of me. I had to understand the people that have gone through that route as a man, you know, and had to learn every day from probably their mistakes, probably their experiences, you know. And that way, it enabled me to understand my purpose as a man, my purpose of being alive, you know. And from that point on, I understood every day what I needed to do, because I discovered that every now and then, people call me, people ask me questions, and they expect that I give them an answer, and not just an answer that would guide them also to become something, to want to also understand their purpose too, as a man or even as a woman, you know. So for me, being a man is basically understanding your purpose, basically understanding the mission, basically understanding what you are called to do, because we are all on different journeys. And understanding this purpose and mission comes with a lot of challenges. So for every phase, you go through a challenge. And for me, I believe those challenges, it brings a better understanding of, okay, this is what you're called to do for the next phase. So it's like you're in JS1, you're moving to JS2. You go after your first term, second term, and third term, you go through examination, which promotes you to JS2. So that's the same thing about the lifeline of a man. When you're in a particular phase, you go through a challenge, and in that challenge, you learn. And when you learn, you move to the next phase. So you're not just, so don't think you just relax and, oh, it's all well. At every point in time, you're going through every challenge. But the understanding is knowing that at every point in time, you have God to guide you through.
Thank you very much. I like the way you put it. It's about learning in phases. We learn to become a man in different phases of our life. And I like the way you linked it to purpose. Because if we don't have purpose, we could learn from any man. You understand that? You don't just have to learn from, I mean, that's linking it to what Brother Olade just said. You learn from people, but when you have purpose, you now know who to learn from. As children, you may not really know who to learn from, because it's what you see, it's who you follow. But when you get to the point where you start to look for yourself and find yourself and find your purpose, then you can now select the people you want to learn from. I think I get that, what you are trying to say. Lala, who taught you to be a man, or how did you learn to be a man?
Okay, so in my case, I grew up in a polygamous home. I didn't stay with my dad. Interestingly, I learned to be responsible through my mom. So, you know, Bolani said father figure. So father figure does not necessarily have to be a biological man. A father figure is somebody that's taken responsibility to mentor you, tutor you, and show you the way to go. So I sort of realized from my mom that family was first, that every other thing can happen, but ensure that family is key. Now, looking back, I realized that in the real sense of it, she was the man in quote that God put in our lives. So I would like to say that, yes, I learned to be responsible from observing how my mom paid attention to everything that had to do with her family. But that being said again, one of the major things she did on time was that whether you liked it or not, you know, loving God was not an option. God was forced into our lives, forced, you know. So you go to church on Sundays, you go on Mondays, you go on Thursdays, you go. And meanwhile, as you go to church, you know, she puts you into a unit. She ensures that you are serving somewhere. And you're wondering, is it by force to love God? Like at some point, I was asking her, that must I go your way? Like this your way? Must I actually go your way? But looking back, I realized that now it's my responsibility to actually force God on my children, because if she didn't do all of that, I would have probably become a Malian.
We thank God for your life. So what is a man without a woman? I think that's what Lala is trying to tell us. And the women will always find their way into every discussion. Because that's why God said man must not be alone. And that's why he created women. Because he knows their strength. And I like the way you brought it out about the strength of a woman in building up a man. Because it's not just about learning from your father. But the role a woman plays in the life of a man is something we cannot. And that stems from your mother. And the other part we are going to talk about later on in the discussion. Just to put some other perspective into it, like you said, we learn from our fathers, we learn from our mothers. I think society also tries to play a role into what we think it means to be a man, you know, the values that society promotes and produces, especially in this world, this era of global media, social media, you know. So if you're not careful, you may not exactly know what to take and where to learn, you know, in being a man. Television is there, pushing you this way, pushing you that way. You know, so like Odogu said, you must know your purpose. And I like the way Lala put it, because that God factor is there. Because when you're looking for purpose, that's where the God factor comes. And then with that, you can now find the real balance of how to, you know, be a man. And it's all about finding the right balance. But when you have God at the root, then that, you know, starts to put you on the right track. So the next thing we want to talk about is one of the major things in being a man, that is career, business life, working, toiling. Because when you are born, you have to grow to be a man. And going back into time, Cain and Abel had to start working the fields. And we see that once a man starts to come of age, he has to do some work to, you know, survive basically and do what God has ordained him to do. So next thing we are looking at is the aspect of being a man in terms of work and career. You know, Brother Lala, work and career.
Okay, so scripture says that, in fact, Jesus said in the scripture that I must walk the walk of he that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. So I probably think that with relations to work, a lot of us have been taught to work for survival, you know. So I asked the question earlier before service started, and I was asking if we actually prepared for the realities of manhood by our parents, you know, the realities of manhood as it is now. So I would say that a lot of us were taught much more about working as a means to earning, but not working as a means to fulfilling purpose, you know. That's the pattern we have noticed. So, and I believe that maybe that is why a lot of people are working in areas that are antithetical to their purpose. So, yes, a lot of us focus on working, but not working in the line that God has actually destined for you, but in something that your parents have, you know, sort of wired you to become. So a lot of people are practicing in a field where their parents sort of, you know, fashioned them into it, and not necessarily because their parents wanted them to succeed, you know, but didn't want them to know, sort of succeed in the area of their purpose, because purpose was not a big thing. If you can't feed yourself, you are talking purpose, you know. Purpose without finance is passion, you know, meaning that knowing purpose without necessarily being able to fend for your family is an abuse on manhood. So, but at the same time, I think strongly that bringing a balance to that, where men can find, you know, their career paths in line with purpose, it's the most critical at this point in time, because I feel that when we grow in the line of our purpose, we're able to impact the world better and leave a legacy.
Thank you very much. Nobody wants to be an infidel. That's why we have to work. So it's a man who cannot provide for his family is worse than an
infidel.
So I think that's where you're coming from. Odogu, why are we working? Is it to hammer?
Well, at the end of the day, that's actually the purpose for a lot of people right now. They want to drive Benz. They want to have a house in Lekki and all that kind of stuff. So if I want to go back, let me come to this generation. That is actually what, that is the aim of working. There's really no purpose in what they're doing. I wanted actually to be a footballer. It was not, like, I don't see myself doing anything. Because then, where we grew up in this tradition whereby everything is about you be a doctor. I come from a family where if you don't have a master's, it's a problem. As a matter of fact, my dad is even fighting with me about it, that you must go and do your master's. It's a compulsory thing, you know. But I wasn't seeing myself in that light. Playing football for me was a natural thing. I didn't go for any training. There was nothing about, say, juggle the ball. I don't know how to do all those stuff. But when we go on the field of play, it comes natural with me. But my dad never for one day supported that. He was like, guy, go and read your book. Go and do economics. Go and do this. Go and do that. You know. So it was about being a doctor, being a lawyer. So end of the day, I actually lost my, my desire, the passion for it. So in other words, for me, I didn't fulfill purpose in that regard. Going to school was to just please my parents. That was the whole idea of going to school. And that's what I think a lot of parents are missing these days. You know, you have to be a lawyer, you have to be a doctor, you have to be this and that. And because of that, a lot of men are not fulfilling purpose, they're not fulfilling a lot of things that they intend to do. Like Lala said, balancing it goes a long way. You know, balancing it helps a lot of men to actually fulfill the reason why they are alive, the reason why they are a man, you know. But I don't know, these days, we're trying to get it right. We're trying to get it right, but back in the days, it was not that way, you know. So I think it's about balance. It's about balance.
Yes, it's about balance. That begins to make me feel like one of those men now, maybe like your father. Because my son, too, has been saying he wants to be a footballer. But I keep on insisting that career is important. So, yes, football can be a career, but at the same time, we have to balance it. I think we have to balance it. So that's why you have to go to school, and that's why I like the Nigerian footballer, Ndidi, who has actually gone back to school and is working in school. Because sometimes, and that's where some people, you know, tend to get it wrong. Because life is not static, it's continuous. Something like being a footballer, for instance, is a short-lived career, sportsman career. It's when you're in your active years, and you have to plan for what happens after that. So, you know, there has to be that balance and not just thinking that, oh, you get on the field, you go and play football and, you know, everything is fine. So you may have passion, you may have desire for something. And yes, it's good to go after your passion and your desire. But you must look at everything in the big balance and the broad aspect of life.
So I think one of the things our parents didn't understand was that going to school does not mean, playing football, for instance, does not mean there's no room for school.
I
think it was like a stereotype. They just believe that just go to that school.
Yeah.
That's all they know. But they're not understanding that you can actually do the football and at the same time go to school.
Yes, you can. That's true. So, can you give us something on the business aspect? These ones are talking football and infidel.
So for me, I think work is about we are ordained to work, because when God handed over the garden to man, he said we should walk in it. But my own perspective is that we need to understand purpose. Purpose is different from work. So when you understand what your life purpose is, or when you set a life vision for yourself, then it doesn't matter what you do to achieve it, in as much as you are doing the right thing. So for me now, I'm a business person, so I'm involved in multiple businesses. So It doesn't matter what kind of business I'm into, but what really matters is that I have a purpose that I want to achieve, and using my business as a tool to achieve my purpose is very important to me. So everything I'm doing in my business is going to work towards achieving what my ultimate purpose is in life. And I think that is where the duty of a father comes in, to mentor a child, not just to impose career or business or anything on any child. Just give them the right mindset so that they are able to think on their own and discover their own purpose and do what they want to do. Because at the end of the day, you have work is not what you just do to just survive. You have to be happy doing what you are doing. So for me now, I'm able to work 7 days a week without feeling any pain or without feeling somehow that I'm overworking. Because for me, my work looks like I'm living. So if we're able to achieve that level, if we're able to help our children to have that mindset where they think, where they're able to think on their own, they're able to have a mindset that work is actually a means to an end. So a means to achieve your own purpose in life. So I think that way, doing that would really help people have a different mindset about work.
Thank you very much. That's very brilliant. Yes, work, toil. We must work. We must toil. It's just the way we have to, it's what we have to do to get by. And I think we must continue to push. You cannot be static. You must continue to push. You must continue to look for excellence. You must continue to open up your mind. Look for your talents. Look for your skills. Look for how you can develop it. God has given all of us talents. He has given all of us skills. That's why, yes, you go to school, but you have talents, you have skills which you can apply into business, you know, to develop a business and then, you know, start to work on it and grow at it. And not everybody can have the business mindset. For you, it may be a career. You get into a particular job and then you start to grow on that job. You don't sit down there, you're looking for how you continuously push to get into a higher level of excellence. You're not looking for promotion by years. You're looking for promotion by excellence. You know, I think that's one thing we should always be looking for as we, and it comes back to us. And then, of course, the purpose, like you said, what's the purpose? Means to an end, surviving, existing. But it's basically, essentially, goes back to the second commandment about helping other people.
Yeah,
because when whatever work it is you are doing has to do with improving the lives of others, then that's where promotion comes from. That's where growth comes from. Yesterday evening, I was talking with some fellow men, and I was quite surprised when everybody are talking. You know, these men were in their 40s, late 40s, early 50s, and people are talking about doing masters and doing an MBA again. And like, we haven't finished reading. We are still going to read again. And you realize that at the end, and when they were saying it, I realized that, like, I said something that there's a joy in learning. So you have to be in that position where you are constantly learning. Learning about your business, opening a new arm of your business. You understand? Learning about your career, going further in it. Because at the end of the day, whatever we are going to do, we have to become teachers. Somebody said it yesterday, said he wants to teach. And now I realize that at the end of the day, we are all going to become teachers because we are all going to have to teach our trade to others. You know, be it our children or somebody else's child or just for the progression of life, which is what God ordered us in terms of being fruitful, multiplying and, you know, taking care of the earth. So we have to be in that position where we can, because we won't be able to work again at some point. We won't be able to run that business again at some point. So we have to master it to the extent that by the time we are stepping aside, we have something to give to the, you know, younger ones coming behind, and they can, you know, take over the business. So we've talked about what it takes to be a man. We've talked about work. I think it's at the point now where we have to talk about women, because we must always talk about women. When men sit down to talk, they talk about women. Yes, even in church, men talk about women. But we are talking about women now in terms of marriage and parenting. That's the way I want us to look at it now, marriage and parenting, because those are very key aspects to being a man. On this stage, I think Odogwu, you are the only one who is yet to tie the knots. And it was deliberate to have you here as because we believe that all men will get to that point, and we are talking about being a man. So as you are looking to tie the knot, what exactly are you looking for in that partner? What are those qualities you want to see in the partner? You know, and that the qualities that you feel that you also need to have to be a good husband. Yes, I'm putting you on the spot.
Doc, you're putting me on the spot, actually. It's more like an advert right now. You know, that question, somebody asked me that question like years ago, and to be frank, I could not answer it. In as much as we talk about relationship every day, we say this is what we want, this is what we want. When it was literally put to me, I couldn't answer it. I had to go back to the drawing board. I'm like, okay, God, what is it? As in, like, this married thing, what do you want? What am I going in for? You know, I had to go back and read and understand what I really want in marriage. Because I found that I'm not married, but I've come to realize from people's experiences that a lot of people don't even understand why they're going to marriage. And I don't think I'm ready to make that kind of mistake. So if I'm going into marriage, okay, when I'm going into marriage, sorry for my choice of words, when I'm going into marriage,
amen.
I'm looking when I'm going to marriage, so people love who say God fearing. I don't want, even Babalawo himself is God fearing. That's the truth. Because if something happens now, they'll first shout Jesus before they even call their own God. So I'm not looking for God fearing. I'm looking for someone that has a relationship with God. A personal relationship. Not waiting for me to come and help you to be praying in the morning. You have that relationship. It's fine by me. Because as you have your own burden, I have my own burden, even if we are married. To an extent, we'll be carrying our load alone. But so I'm looking for someone that has a good relationship with God. I'm looking for someone that has how will I put it now? So this is the most difficult. If you ask any single guy, this question is like kind of difficult because in as much as they know what they want, trust me, they cannot even say it literally.
Okay. When you see, you will know.
He said?
When you see, you will know.
Now when we see, you know, it's more harm than good. You know, but I'm looking for a woman that has a good relationship with God, a woman that that has purpose, a woman that knows what she wants, a woman that understands how to take care of a home, even if completely you don't see it in them. But at least to an extent, you see some qualities in them that you know that, okay, this one has that capacity, you know, to manage a home when I'm not there, you know, to take care of the kids and all that. Because the truth is, when it comes to taking care of children, I give it to the women. We men, we're just there to just support. I give it to the women 100%. You know, then for me, to be that man that the woman wants, I also have to have a good relationship with God. You know, I have to also understand my role as a man in the family. I also have to know that I'm going to be responsible for a lot of things. I'm the captain of the ship. So wherever the ship sails to, everybody's falling in that direction. So I have to understand where I'm going to in life, you know. So, and I also need to have that capacity, you know, to pass on, like you said, a legacy to my children, you know. And somebody told me something that if you can't build an empire with a woman, don't even bother, you know. And I thought about it, and that is the kind of woman I want to be with. And that's the kind of woman every man wants to be, because the truth is that these days, Twitter and woke has taken over everybody. So one has to be very careful, prayerfully. Before, I literally don't see prayer as anything in looking for a woman, but I've come to understand that it's not like God will take your hand and say, Emeke, go and meet Jane. But it will, you will get the word. You will get the word, and I'm sure it will be to guide you.
And the good Lord Almighty will provide a very good wife for you.
Amen.
Jesus. Yes, I like what you said, God fearing, because that gives balance to everything. Because he's also talking about being our purpose, like we talked about earlier on. And like we all know, a man is incomplete without a woman. They brought us into this world, and we live our lives with them. So it's we are incomplete without them. And that's why it's very important that we maintain very healthy marriages. Can we give some of the young men out there some tips for a healthy and a very good marriage?
Praise God. For me, I think marriage is about partnership, because what I see in our society today is that most men, they are demanding more from their wife than they are willing to put in. And if I want to explain further, it means that women, we always think that we have this, we are able to do this, but women are not able to do that. But if we look at it from the perspective that I have equal responsibility in this relationship like my wife has, I think that is really going to help us change our perspective about what marriage really is. And it's going to help us also maintain our home and maintain the balance in our relationship. So for me, I think that as a man, if you really want peace in your home, if you want a good relationship with your wife and your family, I think you should be ready to put in the work. You should see your wife as a partner, not as a slave. You should see your wife as somebody who is there to complement you. Because nowadays, we have to try and create balance in our relationship, because we have the man working, the woman also working, and you have the children, they are there. So if the man is providing leadership, and you are being responsible for your family, your wife is able to say, okay, I might not chase very hard on this career, and I might just take it slowly while I'm able to look after the children. Because at the end of the day, the children are also your responsibility to take care of. So if your children don't turn out well, it means that you have failed. No matter how much money you make, no matter how much wealth you gather, you have really, really failed. So, but if the woman feels like this man is not responsible enough, then she's not able to pull that, she's not able to take it slowly, and, you know, she's not able to see her children as part of the achievement, because she's fighting for her own personal glories. But if she sees your glory as a glory, then she sees herself as a supporter of what you are doing, whatever the vision that you have as a family. So you are both working together with a single mission. It's not like you are keeping a different account from your wife, or you are keeping a different, you have your own different life, you have a different room, or you have a different business. You are seeing your business as a joint business. You are seeing your wife as a partner in your business. You are seeing her as a partner in your family. So there's no competition between the two of you. It's not like she's chasing this and you are chasing that. So if you have that partnership as a family, I believe that you are going to enjoy peace. I was talking to somebody about my relationship with my wife sometime this week, and I was telling him that I don't have anything to hide. My phone is there. And the person was saying that I've really done well for my wife. I said, I've done well for myself, because if I don't do that, it means that I don't have peace also. Because there's no trust. If there's no trust in the relationship, then it means that, I don't know how to put it, but that marriage is not going to really work. So that is my contribution.
Thank you very much. Those are very partnership, very key into, because that's the way God started. It said it's not good for man to be alone. Just some other things as per what it takes in about marriage that I just want to hamper on. The issue of friendship, I think, is very important. I mean, once you are friends with your wife, it makes your marriage very easier. There must be a lot of patience. There must be good communication. There must be tolerance. You've gotten the certificate. You must learn now and learn to work together. Marriage classes are very, very helpful. You must go for marriage class. Yeah? Marriage counseling, premarital counseling. Very, very useful. I mean, those who have attended it can testify to how great it is. Our time is fast spent. When men talk, time goes very fast. So we'll just touch on two more topics as fast as we can, just maybe one minute each, so we can, you know, because there are so many things we still wanted to talk about. Living healthily, living a healthy life, I think is important to talk about that in this COVID times and everything. So, Lala, like I said, just 1 minute, because we still have one more topic to go to. Just one word about living healthily.
So, living with consciousness of your old age in mind. That's how I put it. So, for me personally, there are a couple of people that helped me with that. Because the discipline of wanting to exercise doesn't come naturally to me. Doesn't come at all. Interestingly, I would rather read than exercise. For me, reading is even more of an exercise anyways. So, but I have someone in my life that once he knocks on my door, it's an agreement that we signed. That once he knocks on the door or the particular time of the day, you know, we have to be about it.
So the discipline of exercise, very critical.
Yes, it is.
Especially in this age now, because one of the things we realized with COVID was that comorbidities were a risk factor for death. So we all had to make sure we have a healthy lifestyle. I know Odoku does a lot of exercise. He says he's a footballer. Anything else on healthy living from your own side?
Living healthy, for me, is, well, we have the physical part of it. Then also, we should not forget about the emotional and mental part of it. You know, there was something Lala said in one of his sections that as you sanitize your hand, you also need to sanitize your mind. So we need to ensure that, you know, we balance our state of mind, we balance our emotions, because this period that we're in, it flies everywhere. So I think we should also, in as much as we want to be physically fit, we should also ensure that we're emotionally and mentally fit too.
Excellent. I like the way you brought the mental health into it, because mental health is really becoming an issue in the world today, and we must all take care of our mental health. And in trying to link mental health with exercise, because exercise helps to free up the mind, you understand, helps with blood flow, blood circulation, helps to relieve stress, you know, so therefore we should be doing more exercise rather than watching those who do exercise all the time, you know, especially those who like to watch football and other sports. In fact, I recommend exercise for all Arsenal fans so that they can have a good state of mental health. Somebody said yesterday, like, if you can be an Arsenal fan, you have resilience, you have patience, you have tolerance, and that makes you a very strong strong man. And I think I tend to agree with him. But I'm not one of them, Sha. So let's just quickly round up with the spiritual life. And for the spiritual life, which is the most important aspect of our lives, I want to just give me one man in the Bible and what you like about him. And Jesus is not allowed, though. Jesus is perfect. So one man in the Bible and what you can say you've learned from him. So 1 minute, everybody. It's not too big. You want to gather?
Okay, so since we talked about marriage, you know, so I would like to pick Solomon, because I understand that dealing with one woman, as in relating with one woman, you know, it's a whole lot of work. It takes a whole lot. Now, how did Solomon relate with the number of wives he had in addition to the number of concubines? That man was a strong man. He's an inspiration to manhood in general.
Odogu, please don't say Solomon, you're not married yet.
Okay, I'll pick Joseph. So with his brothers selling out and everything, even when he became the prince and, you know, he had to call his brother, he still had that love for them. So, I mean, it's all about the love work. So I'll pick Joseph with regards to the
Joseph
love.
Is one of my favorites too. I mean, to imagine Joseph's life story, it looks like a Bible story, it looks like a fairy tale when you read it. But when you actually grow up and try to live and walk his walk, there are so many lessons from his life.
So my favorite, I think, is Daniel, because Daniel said, I, Daniel, understand by books, and I think that has been my own way of life also. So there's nothing that I think is impossible for me to learn if I can lay my hands on a book or on a training about it. So he has been my Bible role model, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel's excellent, but that was the second name I had in mind. So both of you have taken my characters. I was going to say Joseph. He said Joseph. I was going to say Daniel. He said Daniel. So I think we'll just leave it at that. There are so many other men in the Bible, and every one of them has something to teach us. And the beauty about all the men in the Bible is that they all went through one trial or tribulation or the other. It wasn't easy for any one of them, even our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's the way it has been for, that's the way it is, it has been, and it will be for us as men as we continue our life journey. So it's very important we take care of our spiritual life in terms of prayer, in terms of caring for one another, which is one of the most important things. And we need to belong to a community. As light men in this church, we need to always gather together and support each other and carry each other along, because it's not something that one can do by himself. You can see that the Lord Jesus Christ even had to surround himself with 12 disciples to, you know, fulfill his ministry. And I can see one of the disciples of the Lord coming to come and help us fulfill this ministry here.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudratabiola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,